Thank you for joining us for our third quarter 2022 results call. As usual, our Chief Executive Officer, Christian Sewing, will speak first, followed by our Chief Financial Officer, James von Moltke. The presentation, as always, is available to download in the Investor Relations section of our website, db.com. Before we get started, let me just remind you that the presentation contains forward-looking statements which may not develop as we currently expect. We therefore ask you to take notice of the precautionary warning at the end of our materials. With that, let me hand over to Christian.
Thank you, Joanna. A warm welcome from me as well. It's a pleasure to be discussing our third quarter and 9 months results with you today. We continue to operate in a difficult and uncertain environment. We are mindful that the economic impacts of the war in Ukraine and the energy crisis are yet to be fully seen. However, despite these challenges, we are progressing towards completion of our transformation strategy. Our efforts continue to be recognized by our stakeholders, as we saw with the rating upgrade from Moody's earlier this month. And we believe our progress is reflected in our third quarter and 9 month results. We delivered our highest third quarter pre-tax profit since 2006 and our best 9 month results since 2011, as we work towards our 2022 financial goals. Turning first to our performance, the positive trends we saw in the first half of the year continued in the third quarter. We delivered group revenues of 20.9 billion euros in the first 9 months, an increase of 7% year on year. We also achieved average revenue growth of 10% year on year across the four core businesses, driven by business volume growth, market share gains, improving interest rates, and business investments, all of which will support sustainable growth in future years. In the first 9 months of 2022, we generated an 8% return on tangible equity in line with our target and up from 4.8% in the first 9 months of 2021. This is the result of increased profitability and efficiency. Post-tax profit for the first 9 months was 3.7 billion euros, up 68% year on year, reflecting our improving pre-provision profit. Our cost-income ratio was 73% for the first 9 months, down from 82% in the prior year period. We also proved our resilience. We maintained strong risk management in this challenging business environment. Provision for credit losses was higher but contained at 24 basis points of average loans. We are well capitalized. We finished the third quarter with a Common Equity Tier 1 capital ratio of 13.3%, up from 13% in the second quarter and above our target minimum of 12.5%. Now let me take you through the progress in our core businesses on slide 2. All four core businesses delivered strong post-tax returns on tangible equity in the first 9 months. This gives us confidence that our 2022 targets and ambitions are well within reach. In the corporate bank, revenues are up 20% year to date, thanks to the further improving interest rate environment and higher fee income, supported by volume growth in loans and deposits. Return on tangible equity was 11%, a 4 percentage point increase year on year. In the investment bank, continued client engagement and strong risk management in our leading FIC franchise drove revenue growth of 8%. With particular strength in our macro trading businesses. The investment bank delivered a return on tangible equity of 12% despite lower origination and advisory activity as markets became more volatile. The private bank boosted its return on tangible equity to 9.5% by delivering a more than threefold rise in pre-tax profit in the first 9 months. 7% revenue growth was backed by net new business of 36 billion euros year to date, including net inflows into assets under management and loan growth. In addition, the business continued to optimize its distribution channels with the closure of more than 130 branches. Asset management delivered revenue growth of 4% year on year, proving its resilience in a much tougher market environment. The business achieved a 20% return on tangible equity while continuing to invest in growth initiatives and platform transformation. This strong performance across all core businesses enables the core bank to deliver 9 months profit before tax of 5.6 billion euros, up 29% year on year. On slide 3, you can see in more detail the positive operating leverage we achieved in the first 9 months. Group revenues were the highest since 2016, up 7% year on year. Across all core businesses, growth is in line with or ahead of the growth rates we foresaw at the launch of our strategic transformation 3 years ago. Despite absorbing some items outside our control, non-interest expenses were down 5% year on year. This was mainly driven by lower transformation charges and restructuring and severance as we approach the completion of our transformation program. Our adjusted costs, excluding transformation charges and bank levies, increased by 1%. Excluding FX, our cost base was down 2% as we successfully offset current cost pressures with our savings initiatives. This improvement in operating leverage drove our cost-income ratio down to 73%, in line with our full-year guidance of mid to low 70s. Turning to slide 4, we believe this strong profitability positions us well in the face of a tougher macroeconomic outlook and more challenging credit environment. The core bank delivered a return on tangible equity of 10% in the first 9 months, up from 7.5% in 2021, and in line with our 2022 target of greater than 9%. As a result, core bank pre-provision profit rose 40% year on year to 6.4 billion euros in the first 9 months. And pre-provision profit is not only higher, but also better diversified across our franchise. The contribution from our stable businesses has increased significantly. The corporate bank, private bank and asset management now account for over 60% of pre-provision profits. And with the turn in the interest rate cycle, we expect the contributions from our corporate bank and private bank to remain sustainably strong in future periods. Let me now spend some time talking to our risk management and balance sheet strengths on slide 5. As always, we remain extremely focused on disciplined risk management. We constantly monitor and manage risks through our early identification systems, multiple downside analysis, stress tests, and selective limit reductions. We proactively responded to the escalating war in Ukraine and the broader European energy crisis via focused hedging and selectively reducing risk appetite in our focus portfolios. Our underwriting standards remain robust, even as we continue to support clients through these challenging times. We are engaged with our key clients on their liquidity needs, and we are also working closely with KfW and the government on support programs. Our approach and our resilient balance sheet mean we have seen limited impact on our risk profile so far. Our key risk and balance sheet metrics have remained stable since the fourth quarter of 2021, before the start of the war in Ukraine. Our CET1 capital ratio is now at 13.3%, and our liquidity coverage ratio is at 136%. Our provision for credit losses increased to 24 basis points of average loans for the first 9 months, compared to 8 basis points for the same period last year. This is the normalization we expected following a less benign macroeconomic environment compared to the previous year. Nonetheless, we still expect the full year provision to be in line with our earlier guidance at around 25 basis points. Overall, our credit portfolio quality is broadly stable, and despite the volatility we have seen, our market risk is managed within our appetite parameters, and we have taken measures to address tail risk. Given the uncertainties in the outlook, we are continuously reviewing our risk appetite and updating our downside analysis to ensure that we remain well prepared for potential further negative developments. Let me now turn to page 6. In the third quarter, ESG-related financing and investment volumes grew by 6 billion euros net, and the cumulative total since 2020 is 197 billion euros for the group, excluding DWS. This compares to a year-end 2022 target of 200 billion euros. The volume development seen in the quarter reflect the implementation of the new MiFID II ESG reporting standards introduced in August. We also made significant progress in implementing our commitment to reduce our carbon footprint. On October 21st, we published our net zero targets for financed emissions in key industry sectors in the corporate loan book. These targets seek specific reductions by 2030 and 2050 in 4 particularly carbon-intensive sectors, namely upstream oil and gas, power generation, automotive, and steel. We aim to achieve these targets by supporting clients on their transition strategies on the path to net zero emissions by 2050 in accordance with the Paris Agreement on Climate Change, and are focusing the dialogue on the top emitters where we see a high concentration of financed emissions. Our methodology envisions a progressive and orderly phase out of fossil fuel usage while incentivizing the financing of lower carbon intensive technologies for clients with credible transition plans. We look forward to discussing this with you in more detail at our sustainability deep dive in March 2023. And now, before I hand over to James, let me summarize our progress to date this year on slide 7. Our improved profitability in the first 9 months of 2022, despite a very challenging environment, proves our transformation has positioned Deutsche Bank on the right track strategically. This transformation resulted in the strong business performance we have seen, and we are on track to meet our 2022 goals. Our core bank revenues are rising, reflecting strong momentum across all businesses and the execution of strategic management actions. Our private bank and corporate bank will, in particular, benefit from this, which will further support our franchise. We continue to deliver positive operating performance. This is driven by our improved profitability and builds our pre-provision profits, providing better protection to shareholders. We continue with our disciplined risk management, and our third quarter risk profile remains contained, supported by a high quality loan book, market risk discipline, and solid capital and liquidity. And we will continue to stay focused on this in light of the environment. The transformation phase we began in 2019 is nearing completion, and we have laid strong foundations for the next phase of our strategy to 2025. We aim to further improve our operating margins as we continue to focus on costs in light of the inflationary pressures. We are executing on a number of tactical measures to offset these near-term pressures, and then, as we progress with our strategy, the 4 key initiatives which we communicated at our IDD in March will support our cost trajectory while enabling further investments. To be clear, we stick to our 2025 financial and strategic targets, including our capital distribution plans. With that, let me now hand over to James.
Thank you, Christian. Let me start with a summary of our financial performance for the quarter on slide 8. Total revenues for the group were 6.9 billion euros, up 15% on the third quarter of 2021. Non-interest expenses of 5 billion euros were down 8% year on year due to lower restructuring and severance and lower transformation charges, as the prior year quarter included contract settlements and software impairments related to our migration to the cloud. I will talk about adjusted costs in more detail later on. Our provision for credit losses was 350 million euros, or 28 basis points of average loans for the quarter. We generated a profit before tax of 1.6 billion euros and a net profit of 1.2 billion euros, an increase of more than threefold year on year. We reported diluted earnings per share of 57 cents for the quarter, which brings the year-to-date total to 1 euro and 46 cents. Our cost-income ratio came at 72%, down 17 percentage points compared to the prior year period. Tangible book value per share was 26 euros and 47 cents, up 79 cents on the quarter and 8% year on year. The return on tangible equity for the group was 8.2%. The effective tax rate was 23% for the quarter and 24% for the first 9 months of the year. Let's now turn to the core bank's performance on slide 9. Core bank revenues were 6.9 billion euros for the quarter, up 14% on the prior year quarter. Non-interest expenses declined 6% year on year, with adjusted costs down 5% for the same period and 9% if adjusted for FX. We reported a profit before tax of 1.8 billion euros, twice the prior year quarter. Our core bank post-tax return on tangible equity for the quarter was 10%, in line with the full year target of above 9%. And our cost income ratio came in at 68%, down from 83% in the prior year period. Let me provide some detail on the evolution of our net interest margin on slide 10. The increase in NIM continued to be supported by US dollar and euro interest rate rises, with euro rates now starting to play a bigger role. It was also supported by approximately 5 basis points in positive one-off effects, predominantly driven by buybacks, offsetting the non-recurrence of the second quarter one-off effects. We've seen the first rate rises in euro client rates, but for the time being, these remain muted compared to our assumptions. While we expect client pass-through to increase somewhat over time, the overall picture remains consistent with the guidance we have previously shared at this early stage. Given this, we expect the trend for NIM to remain favorable given ongoing rate rises. However, possible ECB action regarding deposit remuneration may provide some offset. Our average interest earning assets were up, reflecting US dollar strengthening and underlying loan growth. Before I move on to costs, let me briefly comment on our updated NII guidance. Interest rate tailwinds have increased significantly since the second quarter, with effects now well above 3 billion euros in 2025 relative to 2021. However, wider funding spreads will partially offset this benefit if they persist at these levels. The net impact remains materially better than the impact we flagged to you at the IDD in March. Let's now turn to costs on slide 11. Adjusted costs, excluding transformation charges and bank levies, increased by 177 million euros, or 4% year on year, but declined 1% excluding FX movements, as we managed to offset investments and inflationary pressures with our cost initiatives. Compensation and benefits costs increased by 185 million euros, or 92 million euros, excluding FX effects. We saw an increase in performance-related compensation and further one-off costs associated with the establishment of our Berlin Tech Center, as discussed in the second quarter. Non-compensation costs remained essentially flat, as adverse FX effects and higher business-driven costs were compensated by lower deposit protection costs and other cost measures. If we look at the nine-month comparison on slide 12, adjusted costs excluding transformation charges and bank levies increased by 112 million euros, up 1% compared to the prior year, or down 2%, excluding FX. The year-on-year increase is driven by higher compensation costs, as we discussed in the second quarter, which is partially offset by a reduction in non-compensation expense. The compensation and benefits movement was predominantly driven by the FX impact on salaries, coupled with increases in performance-related compensation and one-off costs associated with the establishment of our tech center in Berlin. Reductions in non-compensation expense reflect the bank's ongoing cost management efforts. Turning to provisions for credit losses on slide 13. Provision for credit losses in the third quarter was 28 basis points of average loans on an annualized basis, or 350 million euros. The year-on-year increase reflects a certain degree of normalization in impairments, especially after unusually low levels in the prior year period. Stage 1 and 2 provision of 13 million euros, compared to a net release of 82 million euros in the prior year quarter, were predominantly driven by the further deterioration of macroeconomic parameters, but largely compensated by a reduction of the overlays applied in previous periods and otherwise improved portfolio parameters. Stage 3 provision increased to 337 million euros, compared to 199 million euros in the prior year quarter. The increase reflects higher impairment events, but we have not observed material trends emerging, and, in particular, the impact of higher energy prices on provisions is not yet visible. Moving to capital on page 14, our Common Equity Tier 1 ratio ended at 13.3%, 37 basis points higher compared to the previous quarter. CET1 capital increased in the quarter, adding 13 basis points. Strong organic capital generation, net of deductions for dividend and additional Tier 1 coupon payments, added 24 basis points. This was offset by 9 basis points from slightly higher other deductions. The second element driving the strong ratio were lower risk-weighted assets, contributing around 24 basis points. Almost half of this is attributable to market risk, where we have seen very low VAR and SVAR levels early in the quarter, which picked up towards the end of the quarter with increased client activity. The rest is attributable to credit risk and operational risk. In credit risk, the reduction was driven by modest growth in stable businesses, which was more than offset by a securitization of leveraged loans and further optimization. Our leverage ratio was 4.3%, unchanged over the quarter. Increased Tier 1 capital added 4 basis points driven by strong third quarter earnings, net of deductions for dividends and AT1 coupons. 1 basis point came from essentially flat leverage exposure. For the quarter, FX translation effects led to a 3 basis point reduction in our Tier 1 leverage ratio. The corresponding effect year to date was 9 basis points. With that, let's now turn to the performance of our businesses, starting with the Corporate Bank on slide 16. Corporate Bank revenues in the third quarter were 1.6 billion euros, 25% higher year-on-year. Continued revenue growth was driven by further improvements in the rate environment, commission and fee growth, and FX movements, despite current macroeconomic uncertainties. Non-interest expenses of 1 billion euros increased by 2% year-on-year, as a positive contribution from non-compensation initiatives was more than offset by FX movements. The Corporate Bank grew loans to 129 billion euros, up by 10 billion euros compared to the prior year quarter, mainly in corporate treasury services, driven by FX and volume growth. Provision for credit losses was driven by a small number of Stage 3 events compared to recoveries in the prior year quarter. Corporate Bank profit before tax was 498 million euros in the quarter, up by 68% year on year. Tangible return on tangible equity was 11.9%, and the cost-income ratio came in at 63%. I will now turn to revenues by business segment in the third quarter on slide 17. Corporate Treasury Services revenues of 963 million euros increased by 28% year-on-year, driven by further improvements in the interest rate environment and a strong operating performance, reflecting higher commission and fee income and volume growth in loans and deposits. Institutional Client Services revenues of 400 million euros rose by 22%, benefiting from the improving interest rate environment and FX movements. Business banking revenues of 200 million euros grew by 15% year-on-year, reflecting the transition to a positive interest rate environment in Germany. I'll now turn to the investment bank on slide 18. Revenues for the third quarter were slightly higher year-on-year on a reported basis and essentially flat, excluding specific items. We saw strong revenue growth in rates, emerging markets, foreign exchange, and financing. This was partially offset by significantly lower revenues in origination and advisory and credit trading. Non-interest expenses were essentially flat versus prior year, adjusting for the impact of FX translation. Our loan balances increased year on year, primarily driven by higher loan originations across the financing businesses and the continuing impact of US dollar appreciation versus the euro. We continue to maintain a well-diversified portfolio across regions and industries. Leverage exposure was higher, reflecting increased lending commitments and trading activity to support client flows. The year-on-year increase in risk-weighted assets predominantly reflects the impact of FX movements. Provision for credit losses was 132 million euros, or 52 basis points of average loans. The year-on-year increase was driven by an increase in Stage 3 impairments. Turning to revenues by segment on slide 19, revenues in FICC sales and trading increased by 38% in the quarter when compared with the prior year, the highest third quarter revenues since 2012. Very strong performance across the majority of the franchise was partially offset by significantly lower revenues in credit trading. Rates revenues more than doubled, with emerging markets and FX revenues significantly higher. The strong performance was driven by heightened market activity and client flows, while also benefiting from effective and disciplined risk management across the franchise. Financing revenues were higher year on year, driven by increased net interest margin and strong pipeline execution during the quarter. Credit trading revenues were significantly lower due to the non-recurrence of the contribution from a concentrated distressed credit position in the prior year quarter, and a market environment that continues to be challenging. In origination and advisory, reported revenues were down 85%, but this includes mark-to-market losses in the leveraged debt capital markets business. Excluding these, revenues declined 63%. Debt origination revenues were significantly lower due to materially reduced leveraged debt capital markets revenues. This was driven by a significant industry fee pool decline, along with the impact of loan markdowns. In the quarter, the realized and unrealized markdowns equated to approximately 110 million euros, while we reduced our commitment pipeline by approximately 50%. Investment-grade debt revenues were solid, decreasing less than the industry average. Equity origination revenues were significantly lower, reflecting an industry fee pool reduction of approximately 50% and mark-to-market losses on a residual equity position. Revenues in advisory decreased by 23% in an industry fee pool that declined by 32% year-on-year, according to DealLogic. During the quarter, we also booked a gain of 91 million euros relating to the impact of debt valuation adjustments. This was driven by market factors, principally credit spread widening and interest rate volatility. Turning to the private bank on slide 20, revenues were 2.3 billion euros, up 13% year-on-year, or 5% if adjusted for the net impact of the BGH ruling and specific items. Higher net interest income, continued business volume growth, and FX movements more than compensated lower commission and fee income in a more challenging financial market environment. Non-interest expenses declined by 5% year-on-year, reflecting a benefit in the quarter from deposit protection costs, lower internal service cost allocations, as well as incremental salary savings from workforce reductions and branch closures, partially offset by negative FX movements. Profit before tax increased almost threefold to 447 million euros. Strong operating leverage improved cost-income ratio to 73% and post-tax return on tangible equity to 9.5%, which puts the private bank on track to achieve its full-year 2022 targets. Assets under management recorded net inflows of 8 billion euros, as well as positive effects from FX movements of 7 billion euros, which were offset by 14 billion euros from market depreciation. Provision for credit losses of 24 basis points of average loans increased as the prior year quarter benefited from a release of an overlay related to expiring moratoria. Excluding this impact, provision for credit losses remained stable, reflecting a high-quality loan book and tight risk discipline in a declining macroeconomic environment. Turning to revenues by segment on slide 21, revenues in the Private Bank Germany were up 8%, or stable if adjusted for the net impact of the BGH ruling. Higher net interest income compensated for lower fee income, which was impacted by a decline in client activity in more challenging markets. The Private Bank Germany attracted net new client loans of 1 billion euros. Revenues in the International Private Bank were up 22%, or 14% excluding specific items. Revenues excluding specific items in wealth management and bank for entrepreneurs increased by 24%, driven by continued loan growth and higher revenues from deposits, supported by rising interest rates. FX movements also had a positive impact on revenue growth, especially in APAC and the Americas. Premium banking revenues declined by 8% as higher deposit revenues were more than offset by lower revenues from consumer loans, mortgages, and investment products. Continued business volume growth with net inflows and assets under management of 7 billion euros, mostly in Germany and APAC, and net new client loans of 3 billion euros, mainly in EMEA and the Americas. The International Private Bank continues to execute on its strategy to strengthen the bank for entrepreneurs and has successfully closed the sale of the financial advisors business in Italy on October 17th. We have recorded a pre-tax gain on sale of approximately 310 million euros in the fourth quarter 2022. As you will have seen in their report, DWS reported a resilient result compared to the prior year, despite the continued market turbulence. My usual reminder, the asset management segment on slide 22 includes certain items that are not part of the DWS standalone financials. Revenues grew by 1% versus the prior year, in part supported by FX movements. Management fees grew by 3%, reflecting higher fees from alternatives, partly offset by negative market impacts in active and passive. Performance fees were also higher than the prior year, partly offset by lower transaction fees. Other revenues declined on lower gains from co-investments, higher treasury funding costs, and less favorable fair value guarantees. Non-interest expenses and adjusted costs increased by 15%, including FX movements. The increase in non-compensation costs was mainly attributable to professional service fees and IT costs, resulting from further investments into platform transformation, whereas compensation costs increased due to strategic hirings and higher carried interest costs. Profit before tax of 141 million euros in the quarter declined by 27% over the same period last year. For the first 9 months of 2022, the cost income ratio was 67% and post-tax return on tangible equity was 20%. Assets under management were stable in the quarter. Quarterly net inflows of 8 billion euros, predominantly in cash and alternatives, and 23 billion euros of beneficial impact from FX movements offset 31 billion euros of market depreciation. Moving to Corporate and Other on slide 23. Corporate and Other reported a pre-tax loss of 68 million euros in the quarter, compared with a pre-tax loss of 605 million euros in the prior year quarter. The improvement in pre-tax loss was driven in part by the absence of transformation charges recorded in the prior year quarter, which was principally triggered by the bank's migration to the cloud. The improvement was also driven by valuation and timing impacts, which resulted in a benefit of 199 million euros in the quarter, partially reversing the trend from the first half of this year. We can now turn to the capital release unit on slide 24. The capital release unit recorded a loss before tax of 216 million euros in the quarter, an improvement of 128 million euros from the prior year period. Revenues for the quarter were negative 17 million euros, an improvement of 19 million euros from the prior year period. This improvement was due to lower de-risking and funding impacts that more than offset the non-recurrence of the prime finance cost recovery in the prior year. Non-interest expenses declined by 33%, primarily driven by a 40% reduction in adjusted costs, reflecting lower internal service charges and non-compensation as well as compensation costs. CRU reduced leverage exposure by 36 billion euros year on year, driven by the completion of the prime finance transfer and continued progress on deleveraging. Risk-weighted assets reduced by 6 billion euros year on year, driven by lower operational risk and de-risking. In the third quarter, RWAs decreased by 1 billion euros compared to the second quarter, primarily from lower market risk RWA. Looking through to the final quarter of 2022, the capital release unit remains ahead of its year-end 2022 targets for both leverage exposure and RWA reduction, and we're confident of achieving the full-year target for adjusted costs, excluding transformation charges, of 800 million euros that was reaffirmed at the investor deep dive in 2022. However, markets remain volatile, and this could have an impact on financial resources and revenues in the fourth quarter. Turning finally to the group outlook for 2022 on slide 25. We believe our strong operating performance in the core bank in the past 9 months is a testament to the quality of our businesses and the strength of our franchise. Reflecting on this performance, we now see upside to our 2022 revenue guidance of 26 to 27 billion euros, particularly given the trends we see in our stable businesses. Business momentum in the past 9 months, combined with improving operating leverage, makes us even more confident in the delivery of our 2022 strategy and financial goals, and that we have the right foundations for our path to 2025. As Christian noted, we continue to adhere to strict risk management principles, particularly in this continued uncertain environment. We are very focused on managing our resilient balance sheet, and we reaffirm our expectations for our provision for credit losses at around 25 basis points of average loans for the full year. And finally, we remain committed to supporting the economy during these difficult times, either directly responding to the needs of our clients or working with the government on support programs. With that, let me hand back to Ioana, and I look forward to your questions.